San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast all the way to Seattle, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone. And also on iTunes, if you search our show's title, It's Your Money and Your Life, you can get us there as well. And all the podcasts, of course, are on iymoney.com, and we take out all the commercials, so very efficient way to hear all the great stuff we do. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author, and he is a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
Joe, I'm marvelous. I'm conserving my energy to get ready for holiday party. gotta, you know, get focused.
Yes. Well, you had a really good week of fitness there over Thanksgiving.
We can talk about it.
We'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to plug, there's a play. Of course, by the time this airs, there'll be one show, matinee left on Sunday at 2, but Enron out at the Moxie Theater. This show opened in London. It was on Broadway for a while, and there's a cast here of 12 people, and they do a spectacular job. And congratulations to Jennifer Eve Thorne, who is the director there. And I saw the show the Friday after Thanksgiving, and the place was packed. Did a very good job. So if you want to relive all the wonders of the electricity industry going haywire back in 2001 and how and some of the history and behind that, they do a very good theatrical production of that. So
yeah, I heard the actors had a lot of energy.
Yes, they did. Anyway, Richard, what'd you do for Thanksgiving? Your typical...
There's evidence on the front page of the local section to the North County edition of the San Diego Union on Friday the 28th. There's ample evidence of what I did. The Oceanside Turkey Trot, we had our 9th annual event in downtown Oceanside Thanksgiving morning at the Pacific Marine Credit Union Oceanside Turkey Trot. Mm-hmm. Also have some other great sponsors, Genentech, Tri-City Hospital, but we had over 10,000 runners and about 15,000 to 16,000 people at the Finish Line Expo, since a lot of folks just bring friends who hang out.
There's a lot of races with the little ones,
yeah, well,
right?
Well, at 7 o'clock, we had the 5-miler, which, you know, I run for Sirius. We had about 1,500 people in that, and then at 8:20, 8:30, we had what we call the People's 5K, so I donned the 9-pound turkey costume that you saw me wearing on the front page of the local section.
Where'd you get that thing, by the way?
That's confidential information, Joe. So there was about 7,500 people in the People's 5K, which is really cool because you'll see three generations of family members just getting out together and walking or jogging together. And, you know, when do families do stuff together? Just out starting the Thanksgiving morning tradition. And then after that, we had about 1,200 kids between the 1-miler for kids five or six through 12, and then under five, the Little People's Quarter Miler, which is hilarious. And I even got, for a photo shoot, I got one of the surfers who was walking down to the beach, you know, because we finished right at the pier in Oceanside. An 18-year-old kid, just classic, you know, blonde, carrying a surfboard. I got him to run through the finish line with me in the turkey costume just to get a photo. So I know we raised at least $50,000 for local charities, because $5 of every runner's entry fee goes to the charity of the runner's choice in Oceanside. And then, of course, a lot of the charities do their own fundraising, so I suspect it probably wound up being over $100,000. We don't see the rest of that money. It goes to the charities that use it, that are using our platform. Our largest team was the Austin Bice Foundation team, almost 600 runners in memory of the late student Austin Bice.
And then how did our friend Ann Garrett do, who was 80 years
old? Garrett ran at about 9-minute pace, 80 years old. So she didn't set a new age group record, but she was just out running with her family.
Yeah.
Her grandkids were trying to keep up with her. But, you know, Ann's daughter is a great runner. I think Ann's daughter put down about a 21-minute 5K.
Well, I don't like to time myself when I used to do those things, and so
I know it's not convenient carrying an hour like one of those. What is called an hourglass, Joe? Is that what that? Yeah, because it's too heavy for you.
That's two in a row for you, Richard.
Oh, sorry,
you're over your quota.
But Our great sponsor, Brenda Geiger, was out with her kids. I don't know if any of our other sponsors made it, because it's hard to find people in a sea of 16,000 people.
Yeah.
So it was great. I mean, it was just a great event. And, you know, the weather was halfway decent on Thanksgiving. It wasn't like the rain we've been having earlier this week. It was, I think, a record-setting day for November 27th.
Does the mayor 82. Come out? Any public
Yes,
officials?
Jim Wood. Jim Wood, the mayor, was the... We had to go, I think, with 10 waves to start the 5K. Because we had so many people. So I think Jim Wood was the first starter.
Wow.
And then Brad Smith, who's the CEO of Pacific Reed Credit Union, was the second. I was actually in the turkey costume, the third starter for the third wave of the 5K. And my son and his girlfriend showed up as I was climbing up the scaffolding, and they were laughing so hard to see old dad dressed like that.
Hey, and Scott Tempesta, who's a former radio personality, he was out there with his two boys, and apparently they all three ran. Scott's recently on a fitness kick, which is nice to see. So I always see him on Facebook bragging about or just being thankful that he's kind of turning things around health-wise with himself.
But so no, it was just a really neat event. And it's great that we can talk about it because it's, I think, a perfect segue, is it not, for
it is.
Who
it
our guest is going to be
it
this
absolutely
evening.
Is. I heard this gentleman get interviewed on another station, and he happens to be an MD, and he's gone into the field of taking his medical practice into the gymnasium, and with a lot of success. His name is Dr. David Clayton. Dr. Dave, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for the invite on the show.
Our pleasure. Well, let's get into your background a little bit.
Well, most important, were you at the Oceanside Turkey Trot a week ago Thursday?
Don't put him on the spot.
I didn't
like
see
that,
you there, so you better be there next year.
I also had a turkey costume on. So.
Okay, good. So I didn't recognize you. Okay.
Anyway, I'm Dave, sorry. Born on the where, East Coast or?
New Jersey. But don't hold it against me.
I think that's great, you know, someone in shape from New Jersey, because there's probably a big weight problem on the East Coast there, isn't there?
West Coast, the middle states, it doesn't matter. We're all dealing with the same issues. Yeah.
Do you see more of it on the East Coast, though, or cold weather cities or towns? I like to think so, but, you know, obviously you walk through the grocery stores around here, and you know, sometimes you can't see the shopping cart in front of some people because they're so hot. But anyway, so what part of New Jersey were you born in, and where'd you go to high school and college and all that?
Yeah, I grew up on the Jersey Shore and went to school in New Jersey, did my medical training out there, medical school out there, and then I came out to San Diego for my medical training. So that was my first introduction. I went back to the East Coast, did some practice in Manhattan, did an MBA out there while I was practicing.
Internal medicine is your
internal medicine, yeah. Got a little homesick for the San Diego sunshine and the beaches, so I've been back here since 09.
So board certified in internal medicine, and then you're on staff at Scripps La Jolla, right?
Correct.
Out there in Genesee, which is one of the better hospitals. I don't want to diss any hospital there.
I think it was number one in San Diego, number 18 in the nation, if I read that sign right, that was hanging over the
That sounds about right.
Side of the building.
But there's a lot of good hospitals. You never know when you're going to, you know, where the paramedics are going to take you, Richard, so let's not leave anybody.
Well, we have a lot of experience. I had three kids born there, Joe.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah, so we're one of my favorite spots.
So you were practicing internal medicine and then how did you make this transition into, I'm going to take my medical practice into the gym and really change lives? I mean, how did that all come about?
You know, I'd say there's a lot of drivers that kind of came together around the same time to make this seem so compelling that I ended up quitting my job as a practicing physician to move into this new area of practice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think the biggest thing for me was seeing how many of my patients, as they're hitting their 50s and 60s and beyond, were struggling with the weight and the blood pressure and the cholesterol and all of these.
Diabetes. And
the diabetes, for sure. These conditions that we associate with aging, but that we know to be related to diet and exercise. And what I found was that most people aren't sitting on the couch eating Cheetos. They're actually getting out and exercising. They're walking. They're going to the gym, and they're trying to eat right. But it's really hard to get the kind of results that you want to get from your own individual efforts. So I said, you know, how can I, in a 5-minute office visit, really be able to give somebody the guidance to optimize their nutrition and fitness without being there in the gym with them? So And a few years ago, I started inviting a couple of my patients down to the gym one at a time.
Well, did you have a personal epiphany yourself?
I did, actually. Okay. I did, yeah. So that was one of the, you know, because, a couple of things came together.
Because I went to the medical school library one day to just do some research on my own up there, and the medical students do not look like a healthy bunch.
But they look like all the other students, Joe.
Yeah, but no, white, pasty, very out of shape, right? I mean, they don't have time to exercise.
The library is not a good place for developing a physique. No.
But you found yourself getting out of shape? And,
well, less so getting out of shape, because I've always been really enthusiastic about my own time in the gym. It's kind of the place where I decompress and de-stress. But what happened was, even though I was staying in shape, my blood pressure was going up, my cholesterol was going up, and you know, we have some of that in the family.
In your 30s, right?
In my 30s. So what's happening now is I'm getting the same age-related problems that we know are related to diet and exercise, and I'm a doctor and I'm exercising.
And fairly active, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. So it's looking into the science behind what really makes diets fail, what makes exercise programs fail, and then how can we take best practices from all over, from research, from what's already being done in the community, put it into one dynamic center where you can just come and really enjoy yourself, get a diet that really works with you, that you can enjoy as a lifestyle, because mm-hmm. you really got to stick with it for the rest of your life. And then more importantly, get off of a medication, really improve the health, improve your cognitive function, you know, really get the body tuned up in the way that exercise and diet should be able to do for you.
Hmm. When's the last time you heard a doctor try to help you get off medicine? This is really interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to get banned from the staff at Scripps. I know. What's going to happen?
We don't have any drug companies as sponsors, at least not yet. So we're okay for now.
But it's ClaytonMD Total Health is the website, right, .com?
Yep,
ClaytonMD
exactly.
Total Health. So, but we have to take a little break right now, I believe. So stick around, everybody. We're going to get more into health and wealth and all that other good stuff with Dr. Dave Clayton right after this. So stay tuned.
AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we are back with Classical Gas. Maybe I need a doctor. Hey, small world. Dr. Dave Clayton is here. Clayton, yeah. MD, Total
Good
Health.
Good news if somebody has an issue, we're covered.
Well, I think it's great. You know, if you are, you know, a lot of people might be reluctant because they're so out of shape that they feel it might not...
Dr. Clayton, I want to ask that. Was it hard to get a patient or two to come to the gym, or was that easy?
You know, I think the trick is catching somebody in that, that...
mode.
Oh boy moment, okay. when they really are seeing, you know, that it's either more medication or worsening of their health, or get off your butt and come down to the gym. And I think, you know, in the doctor's chair, I do a good job of identifying that moment because I'm right there. So so the initial, you know, people are hit or miss. You know, some people it's that time. And
well, the point being is if you are having a lot of health issues, you want to, you know, and you get in the gym, you want to be with a doctor just in case you need one. So, you know, you're killing two birds with one stone, I think. So maybe, you know, I'd feel a lot more open to the idea if I was, you know, haven't worked out in several years, out of shape, and realize it. And but you have patients from 40 all the way to 80, though, right? I mean,
yeah, the youngest are in their early 40s, and yeah, all the way up to 80. And what we do is with just scaling the workouts and creating good peer groups is mm-hmm. give a dynamic workout to everybody so that you can push your limits and still bounce back the next day and do it all again.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, because you get a lot of these people, they want a complimentary workout at some of these gyms, and they put people through such a horrendous workout, they can't get out of bed for 3 days, you know. So you really have to know how to do this in a gradual way.
Well, the other danger is letting people work out unattended.
Oh, yeah.
Because people don't necessarily know proper technique. And
oh, yeah, I've heard crazy things like they put a lady on a leg machine and they'll go get a phone call, and then next thing you know, she's torn up her knees and there's a lawsuit. So I've heard of that happening.
It's just poor technique can really cause structural damage.
Yes.
And so that's why I think some of the big box gyms aren't really a good idea for most people, because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the things that I found out right away was that when trying to refer somebody to a gym, it's, you know, if I'm catching somebody at 65 years old, it's really hard to say, hey, you know what, when you're motivated to go to the gym, where should you go and what should you do? And that's when I realized that we really had to create this one on our own, because, you know, to be able to push somebody hard enough to get results, and we're talking balance, strength, flexibility, cardio, the whole works, to in order to get those kind of results and that kind of a workout, but not get a major injury, I mean, that's a format that really hadn't been done before, and that's where this took a little bit of time to put together.
Yeah, you might get somebody a little bit of ego when they go in this CrossFit gym, and you know, they see these, you know, that's very intense. And if they don't start that gradually, they're going to have problems if someone does a little, you know, is overweight and out of shape. So, but on your website, I see you have something called the Fiber Challenge. So why the emphasis on fiber?
So, you know, fiber is one of the four main dietary mistakes that people make that really translate into disease down the road. So if I look at people who have their healthy diet, more often than not, we're getting about a third of the fiber that we need in a day. And that really doesn't change too much from individual to individual. So the American College of Cardiology, for example, recommends a minimum of 30 grams of fiber a day. Now, most Americans get about 16 grams of fiber a day, which is about half. And people who eat a lot of fiber might get 20, 25 grams, but nobody's getting to these limits that that experts are recommending. And more importantly, when you look at the way our bodies evolved, our bodies need 40, 50, 60 grams of fiber a day. And that's what really translates into significant health benefits down the road. So if we can increase fiber, just that one, pull that one lever in the diet, if we can move the needle on that one factor, we can reduce the risk of cancer and heart disease by over 75%, and we can dramatically improve quality of life by just improving the way your food digests and your digestive tract works. It's also been linked to improvements in cognitive function and possibly a reduction in the incidence of Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, with one dietary change, you have all of these downstream effects, and that's why focusing on just these couple of issues, and again, there's only a few of them, really has a incredible downstream effect, and that's how we get, you know, half of our patients or half of our members are getting off of medications within weeks of joining.
So what are two or three things somebody can eat daily that contain fiber?
So believe it or not, artichoke hearts are one of the highest fiber foods that are out there. Most of the legumes, the lentils, peas, beans, also super high in fiber. And then any green vegetable is going to be a good choice.
Can I give a plug for oatmeal? Because I'm getting back into my oatmeal kick. And I just, it's really easy, folks. And you get the whole rolled oats, not the processed ones and no sugar. I guess if you could put a little yogurt on there today, but just a half a cup of rolled oats and a cup of water in the microwave, 3.5 minutes in a bowl, and you're good to go, right?
Well, so Joe, you know, far be it from me to argue with the host, but you know,
it's allowed.
You're not a big oatmeal fan?
So, you know, the easiest way to get to a really healthy diet is to think in terms of evolution and how was your body genetically designed to function. And there's a couple of food groups that make it into healthy diets now that didn't exist 10,000 years ago. So for the bulk of our evolution, you weren't exposed to oats. You weren't exposed to yogurt. You weren't exposed to sugar.
So what would be a good breakfast then? What would you recommend?
So it's the question that I get possibly the most often is, what do you do with breakfast? And the reason is that culturally, we Americans and actually a lot of cultures have decided that breakfast food should be, number one, different from the rest of the day for some reason. So we're going to have a different bunch of food choices.
Well, and I had then pizza, so it wasn't for me. I'm just kidding.
So yeah, there. We're moving one step in the right direction.
We're getting away
from breakfast foods. Yeah. So, and then the other thing is that, you know, breakfast in general is a carb fest. So, you know, what are we looking at? Pancakes, oatmeal. Right.
Well, does oatmeal have a lot of carbs, really? I mean, I don't put sugar. Oatmeal per se has a lot of carbs.
So what you want to look at it, Joe, is that the carbs themselves are just fuel to burn for energy, right? Mm-hmm. So what do I want to eat? I don't want to eat for energy because we live in the United States. We've got plenty of access to food. We're not going to have a problem with getting enough energy or calories. Mm-hmm. What we want to make sure that we get is enough fiber, enough antioxidants, enough healthy anti-inflammatory fats. And when I look at the oatmeal, it delivers too many calories for the amount of fiber or antioxidants that you get. So if I'm going to give you a choice, oatmeal is not going to be high on my list because you might get 4 or 8 grams of fiber with 250 calories, whereas I could get that in 30 calories by going with broccoli or spinach.
So breakfast. So wait, egg whites and broccoli, one of those omelets or something.
Now I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to rephrase it for you.
Okay.
Broccoli with egg whites.
Okay. Well, so the old myth about breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper, not?
Breakfast is by far the most important meal of the day. So you want to make sure that you're not skipping it. Lots of studies correlate to, you know, better physical and mental performance if you're eating breakfast. And actually, it correlates well with weight loss, too. So if you're trying to lose weight and you're going to skip breakfast, bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then generally, I think you're on the right track with that.
So for you, what's the perfect breakfast?
So I you know, going back to what you were saying, Rich, I skip breakfast altogether, okay. And I have lunch. So today I had lunch at 7 a.m. It was some tomatoes, mushrooms, and a little bit of grass-fed ground beef.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. Well, I could go with that. I'm good with that. So that
you sounds know, good. You know, it's all about changing behavior. And once you get over that little hump of, oh, my goodness, you know, how can I have lunch at 7 a.m.? Most people find that the variety of foods that they can enjoy for breakfast start to expand because we actually have more choices now. And you realize that you can enjoy a lot of those foods early and, you know, it doesn't really make a difference. It's actually a lot more satisfying, a lot more filling, and gives you a lot more choice.
Now, what about this big anti-gluten kick in wheat and all that? Do you avoid bread or?
You know, two things on that. Number one is that wheat and gluten are new to the evolutionary diet. They weren't introduced into our diet until about 10,000 years ago. So again, your body isn't genetically used to it. You're playing Russian roulette with the way your body can handle it because you haven't had time for your genes to adapt. And then number two on that is I don't like the concept of going gluten-free because it means deprivation. Mm-hmm. It means I'm going to eat what Joe eats, but I can't eat gluten. So I must be somehow, less fortunate than he is. What I want to do is think hunter-gatherer, and I want to think, you know, if I was in the jungle with a rock and a stick, what could I eat? Well, I can't eat wheat, so that's off the menu. But within the confines, the framework of that diet, I'm going to eat as much as I want. I'm going to eat as often as I want, and I'm going to eat until I'm stuffed. And the beauty of that is that if you're focused on the fiber and the antioxidants within that diet and really limiting your choices to foods that are high in those nutrients, you can enjoy a lot of great recipes. You can fill yourself up. You're very satisfied, and you still lose weight and reverse disease.
And I was going to say something more about the fiber, but...
I went out to dinner last week, and I told the waitress I was gluten-free and intolerant, and she didn't get the joke. So, whatever. Whatever that's worth.
Yeah. I may steal that one from you, Rich.
Okay, you can
like
use
that.
It. It's not copyrighted. So.
And there was once something on your website at ClaytonMDTotalHealth.com, for those listening, about 5 mistakes that we make. Did you just mention some of them, or do you want to get any elaborate?
I mentioned a few of those, and to your earlier point about the fiber challenge, that this is all written up in a book that's generally available to the public. You can get it on my website, and the fiber challenge is free to get a taste of this. You can just download that, and it's free for everyone. The 5-step diet that that works really well is, number one, eat like a caveman. If it wasn't around a million years ago, don't eat it. Number two is limit your sodium and maximize the amount of potassium in your diet. It corrects a lot of downstream problems with
bananas.
Bananas is a testament to Dole's marketing, and they really do a good job of, you know, bananas are a good source of potassium, but also even salmon is a good source of potassium. Most green vegetables, tomatoes, tomato paste in particular, even molasses is a good source of potassium. So pretty much anything within that diet is going to be good. And then antioxidants limits your risk of cancer, Alzheimer's disease, age-related blindness, heart disease, fiber we talked about. And then the last one is the anti-inflammatory fat, so omega-3s.
As far as the antioxidants, well, I think we have to take a break right now, but we'll come right back with more of this great information. Dr. Dave Clayton, right after news sports.
I'm hungry.
Hang on. All right, we are back with the second half of the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. Over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
Big thanks to our sponsors, UBS, Michael Corwantra, and Drew Freitas. Couldn't do it without you. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Plato Epic CPAs. I used to say in Vista, now they're in San Marcos. They just recently moved about a week before Thanksgiving from Vista to a brand new office in San Marcos. I offered to help them move, but it turned out to be the same day I had to take my cat for a walk.
Moving on up.
So that didn't work out. I couldn't help him move. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Who doesn't want more cash flow? Brenda Geiger, law offices of Brenda Geiger, and big supporter of the Oceanside Turkey Trot. Brenda's law firm does estate planning and asset protection when she's not busy writing yet another amazing book about those subjects. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here in town, helping businesses that don't have a need for a full-time CFO still have access to great financial and accounting resources.
And they're growing too, right?
They're growing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Sheeler and Berkeley Research Group, the best business valuation firm on the planet, helping business owners understand the risks that drive the values of their businesses and how to reduce those risks and increase the value of the business. Servant Leadership Institute. Check out servantleadershipinstitute.com. Have a big event, their fifth annual national conference coming up at the lovely Coronado Marriott on March 9th and 10th, where for the first time ever appearing on the same stage together will be John Maxwell, Stephen M. R. Covey, and Dr. Ken Blanchard. So Servant Leadership Institute, that's going to be a great event. And last but not least, we have a new banking sponsor. And there was nothing wrong with our old bank sponsor, Regions Bank, by the way. But our new banking sponsor, California Republic Bank, is a bank that focuses specifically on wealthy families and family offices, which, of course, is the area that I work in. So we now have a really neat niche bank that focuses on the very unique needs of wealthy families and their business, also known as private equity interests and real estate interests. And their senior VP, Lane Elliott, is going to be a guest on the show sometime in January. So we're really excited to have California Republic Bank on board as our new banking sponsor.
Where's their main location, Richard?
They're out of Orange County, Irvine, and they recently opened their first San Diego office in the UTC area. That was maybe 3 months ago.
Oh, right.
So they're now down here in the UTC North County area.
Great.
And so great to have them on board. Thank you. And Joe, how can our listeners find out about our amazing group of sponsors?
Well, all they have to do is get on iymoney.com, get their cursor over to the sponsor tab. There's a drop-down menu there where they're all listed, and they can click any one or all of them and get their personal information, their email, their phones, and anything else they need to know. And they've all been working with Richard for many, many, many years with great success, right?
Many years, in some cases, 25 years. And by the way, if you missed the turkey costume picture in the San Diego Union, that apparently has found its way to our website, too.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that, but
anyway.
And my caricature is going to be up there pretty soon.
Yes, so. I approve the final. I really like it, by the way. I really like it.
He even got me right down to the chip in my tooth.
Exactly. So, Court Jones and El Cajon, thank you. You did great.
He's great. And anyway, back to Dr. Dave. We have a lot to talk about with regard to eggs.
So, Joe, since you have egg on your face.
Yes. I love eggs, Dr. Dave. And I saw one other doctor on a TV program the other day. He said, you could eat eggs, two eggs every day for the rest of your life, not a problem. True, false?
So the egg question has been plaguing medicine
for
decades.
The cholesterol or the egg?
The cholesterol or the egg. And, you know, this is why you have to work with a strong framework for nutrition. And again, I love going back to the example of the caveman because it answers a lot of these questions. You know, can I eat oatmeal? No. Can you make oatmeal with a rock and a stick? No. So it's not on the menu. Now let's go to eggs. What would the caveman do to find an egg? You'd have to go through the jungle, find a bird's nest, hope that there are some eggs in there. And then, you know, they're going to be these little tiny eggs that, I mean, they're not like the chicken eggs we get today. So were eggs part of that diet? Yes. Were they a staple food that you could rely on year after year? No. So when we look at the research today, it kind of plays out in harmony with that concept that one egg a day, and I think the two is more than what I've heard before, but the studies that I've looked at have looked at it, one egg a day being the inflection point where an average of an egg a day lowers your risk of stroke, does not change your cardiovascular outcomes, and in general is healthy for you.
Aha. Uh-huh. So I've got a solution. I just recently bought these egg whites so I can make an omelet with one egg and some of the prepared egg white mix, right?
That's exactly what I do.
Oh, yep. Son of a gun.
All right, Joe, you got one.
You're going to put me out of business, Joe.
Yeah. You can call me Dr. Joe the rest of the show, Richard.
Dr. Joe.
And we'll get Dr. Ruth on here one day, too, and we'll really have a good time. But let's see.
Question for you. So I'm a long-distance endurance runner, and I work out a lot at the gym, and I play tennis, and I still play real-life baseball, real-life hardball, and I walk my dogs, and I walk my cat. I just joke about the cat part. But my doctor tells me if I don't keep on working my butt off and watching my diet, I may have to go on medication for high blood pressure and high cholesterol someday because both run in my family. And she told me about things called like Acion and Lipitor. Are there good reasons why I should keep on working my rear end off to try to stay off of these things?
Well, you know, you're me, Rich. I mean, these are the problems that I deal with personally, and the same thing, you know, working out, staying in shape, but still ending up with some of the metabolic problems that, you know, plague even thin people. And I say, you know, if you walk through the cath lab at Scripps Memorial, you'll see thin people on the cath table. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and this is the cardiovascular cath lab. So, you know, when we look at what is it in even a healthy diet that can help lower the cholesterol and the blood pressure, this comes back to the five-step diet. And, you know, for you, the specific guidance that I would give you, given that example, would be to really stay true to keeping a very low sodium intake.
Okay.
And then I would push you to be getting 4+ grams of potassium a day. And that would really come in the form of maybe 10 servings of fruits and vegetables daily. And, you know, when I put that in the context of what do most people get, you know, your average healthy eater gets maybe 1-2 servings of vegetables a day. Most Americans put off the veggies to dinner, and it's usually a side item. What I'm trying to do, back to my, you know, broccoli with a side of eggs for breakfast, is give you the encouragement to get maybe 2 or 3 servings of vegetables in each meal, starting from the first meal of the day. And if you couple that with strict avoidance of sodium, you may find, like a lot of my members of my club get, is about a 20-point reduction in your blood pressure without using medication. But I think the knee-jerk reaction is going to be, hey, you know what? Your parents had it. You're going to have it. 75% of older adults are going to end up with hypertension. But if we change around these, if we pull these levers in the diet, we can fix it.
Interesting.
Now, you've had some great success stories, so maybe you can give some more of those, because obviously you've had some people in pretty rough shape on the way in, and tell us how quickly and they've been able to turn some things around.
You know, the there was a great story in the Union Tribune earlier this week, profiling one of my patients. His name's Mark. Did a fantastic job. Guy's in his mid-70s, and I gave him the choice of either take insulin for diabetes or come down to the gym and let's start working out. And, you know, it really tapped into something inside of him that he really wanted to get back in the gym after about 20 years off. It took him about, you know, not long at all, but, you know, he was dropping medications in weeks. And now we're at the 2-year mark. He's down nearly 50 pounds. He's down to a normal blood sugar level. He's not on blood pressure medication. I mean, he's had a real life-altering experience.
Did he do the diet revamp also, though?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the thing, Joe, is that you can't do it with just diet or just exercise. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really need the combo, and that's why everybody that walks into my club, I say, you know, here's a copy of the book. You've got to follow the diet. I do nutrition talks every week. We even stock some food on hand there. Mm-hmm. And it's really making sure that everybody's on the same page.
Okay. We've got to take a little break, though. We'll come right back with more of this great stuff with Dr. Dave Clayton and get healthy over the holidays. Hang on.
AM 760 KFM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with Dr. Dave Clayton, ClaytonMD, TotalHealth.com, up there in Sereno Valley, right, where I-5 meets Sereno Valley Road, I believe, right? Is that where you're located?
Almost directly under the 805 there, yep, for sure.
Excellent. Jump off the freeway and into the gym.
Exactly.
Anyway, I saw a documentary recently with Dr. Robert Lustig, Fed Up, talking about sugars and the obesity crisis and sodas, and obviously cavemen didn't have sodas. Are you in lockstep with or in agreement with Dr. Lustig about sodas?
Yeah, clearly.
Okay.
What about alcohol?
So alcohol is less clear. So, you know, there's a handful.
Because people say drink a glass of wine before you go to bed and you're going to live to be a 99 and a half.
if only life were that easy.
Yeah,
but, you know, there are only a couple of modern additions to the diet that are worth considering because of the added health benefit. And all alcohol tends to improve longevity and reduce cardiovascular mortality. So any glass of wine, a beer, even a cocktail will actually be healthy for you. But as long as you don't exceed about one drink a day for women, one to two for men. But when it comes to really getting benefit from that, red wine is where the money is there because of the high antioxidants there that have been shown to have a specific action in reducing inflammation in arterial plaque and preventing heart disease. What I tell my patients, if you want to have a glass of wine a day and only red wine, this doesn't apply to white, enjoy a glass of red wine every day. It will certainly improve your health. More than that is, you know, arguable. And then after that, if you wanted to have a no-calorie cocktail like a vodka soda, that's fair game. But you don't want to steer clear of the beer and the high-calorie beverages like the margaritas. You know, that's where the wheels start to come off
the
bus.
Sugars,
yeah, exactly.
When he says soda, he means club soda, not
club soda,
not 7-Up or
Coke,
something. Oh,
yeah.
I shouldn't mention a lemon lime drink.
Yeah. So, Dr. Clayton, up in Oceanside, where my foundation just had its big Thanksgiving event, we have a lot of kids that struggle with type 2 diabetes because we tend to have a lower income, somewhat sedentary population, and we're trying to change that. But you say that most of your patients are between, say, 40 and 80. What can younger people or teenagers be doing, though, so that they don't wind up being somebody between 40 and 80 who has all kinds of issues?
You know, I think the rules apply from, I mean, I've got a 3-year-old and I am already feeding him the same way that I eat. So, you know, this applies to everyone. And the earlier you can start, the better off you'll be. You know, with the children, it's really a function of trying to get these, you know, these dietary principles instilled early. And I think that caveman diet applies well. Oftentimes you hear the argument that it's too expensive to eat this way. And, you know, what I would say is that, you know, you can do things with frozen vegetables. You know, a dollar will get you a bag of frozen vegetables. A dollar will get you a bag of lentils. There are ways to, you know, to make food relatively simply, relatively quickly, and very cheaply where you can actually start to see these kind of benefits early on.
And we had a guest about 2 months ago that's going to change that cost dynamic, Hometown Farms up in San Marcos. They were a lot of fun, weren't they, Joe?
Yes, and absolutely.
Ramping up to basically be rolling things out here in 2015.
Absolutely.
Vertical urban greenhouses.
Yeah, hometownfarms.com.
So that the food goes directly from the farm to the consumer.
Yeah. And he says we're going to have about 12 of those around the county here. But yeah, there's, you know, the farmers markets. There's, you know, people, if they are on the lookout, they can find healthy food out there. It's just a matter of getting educated and the awareness and then motivated, right?
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to how hard it can be. And what I usually tell people, you know, of any income status is you've got to dig your heels in for the first 4 to 6 weeks because it's a lot of change.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get through that change part where you say, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to have for dinner. I have to go to the store. I got to find a recipe. I got to buy the food. It's becomes habit and second nature after a short amount of time. You start to learn recipes you like, you have the ingredients already in the refrigerator. So it does get easier. And if you check in with somebody 2-3 months down the road, they say, wow, that was really easy.
How about potatoes? I love these red potatoes. I've gotten a red potato kick lately. Boiled, you have them yourself or?
You know, the potatoes would be one of the foods. And I think all root vegetables to some degree fall into this category where even though they would technically fall into that Paleolithic lifestyle, you want to just be careful that it doesn't become a surrogate for the pasta or the rice or some of the other high carbohydrate, low nutrient foods. So, you know, there's the one rule diet will get you nearly all of the way there, but you just need to be careful about...
But pasta is wheat too, so you have to, you're saying you have to kind
no
of...
No pasta.
No pasta?
Sorry, Joe.
Oh my gosh.
I can't even talk without a piece of bread in my left hand and a plate of pasta off to the side.
Well, bread's the other thing. You have to watch the bread, right? You don't eat any bread yourself?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Not at all. Wow. So what's a typical workout for you? I'm just curious. At the gym.
So, you know, our workouts are all functional fitness. So we do a hybrid of a CrossFit style functional fitness training program using a lot of body weight and very limited equipment. and yoga for flexibility, balance, and core. So what I'm looking for is to mimic real-world activities in the gym, push you really hard, and still give you a little bit of time to come back the next day. So
Do you do things that drive your heart rate up and then rest and get it back down?
Yeah, actually, everybody in my gym wears a heart rate monitor, okay. And we cycle through three separate intervals, each about, I would say, 5 to 15 minutes in duration, where we're looking to get you up to about 80, 90% of your target heart rate.
Okay, yeah, check out our show on Fitwall, another previous guest. I think that was maybe back in June of this year. Mm-hmm. Really neat way of working out with body weight. Only no equipment.
Well,
no
that's
weights.
Essentially Pilates, isn't it? Strength, stretching and strengthening.
Exactly.
So, I knew a guy who played football for Notre Dame, and after he got done playing, he saw him there lift another weight. He uses just his own body weight to work out. So that can work out.
So, anyway. Dr. Clayton, question: insurance. I know a lot of insurance companies don't cover things that are considered preventative. What's the typical story with insurance and your, you know, the value that you provide?
So, if anyone wants to get one-on-one guidance from me, I take insurance like any other doctor would. Our gym membership is cash pay, just the same way that 24-hour.
So just like any other gym. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, let's see here. As far as cardio fitness, what do you recommend for people to do with that?
Do you run, for example, too?
No, I like most of my clients, would prefer not to run at any cost. So,
I know what you mean.
Bangs up the knees, bangs up the hips. We do a lot of rowing for cardio.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
We also do a lot of circuit training. So, we make sure even if you're doing push-ups, you're getting the heart rate up.
Okay.
Anyway, we have to wrap it right there. Dr. Dave Clayton, thanks so much for being our guest. ClaytonMDTotalHealth.com, folks.
So, Joe, so much for going to the burger joint after the show.
Yeah.
Those plans.
I got to cut out with the bread.
Dr. Clayton, thank you.
I've got to ask about the corn tortillas. Yeah. We'll find out and get back to you on that. Anyway, IYMoney.com, all the podcasts are there. Thanks to Eric Rubalcava, our sound engineer, for making his song great. Thanks to Craig Blanke, our account executive, and to Dave Sinf, our programming genius. Happy holidays, everybody. Eat well and stay healthy. See you next week. Bye-bye.
AM 760 KFMB.
If you have Medicare Part D, you could be at the corner of I'm throwing away money and I had no idea. Well, Walgreens has your back. Our expert pharmacists make it easy for you to save even more on Medicare Part D prescriptions with copays as low as $0. So swing by Walgreens and talk to our pharmacist to get the most out of Medicare and your money. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics for select plans.
There are great offers from HomeDepot.com every day during Cyber Week. So, let's do Saturday's offer. A Husky 10-drawer tool chest and cabinet set. Just $199, you save $150. You won't find a price like this every day, and you won't find this one tomorrow.